This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Bismillahi walhamdulillahi wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillahi wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in. Just to let you know, they told me today is a public holiday here in South Africa. And they said, you've got to speak until 1:30 because people have come from far and wide. And I told them, no, we must stick to the time because time is time. One wonders, there may be from amongst us people who need to catch a flight. There are people broadcasting this live at the moment and they may have another program thereafter. So inshallah, as much as there may be a lot of people who might be happy for us to keep speaking, but I think we'll stick to the time. May Allah Almighty bless every one of us. Inna ajala Allahi idha jaa la yuakhkhar law kuntum ta'lamun. When the prescribed time of Allah comes, it will not be delayed if only but you know. That's what Allah says. My brothers and sisters, I invite you to ponder over your own life and to ask yourself, where am I right now and how can I improve myself? Because when my fixed time comes to return to Allah, nothing will delay it. And then I ask you to ponder over, when is your fixed time? Do you know people your age have already gone back to Allah? And I pray that Allah treats them with His mercy. Allah is just, Allah is merciful, Allah is kind, and Allah Almighty will always forgive you for as long as you seek forgiveness. I invite you today on this beautiful, blessed Friday, which is not just the best day of the week, but it is the best day as a Muslim that Allah has created. Because Allah Almighty says to us, the best day is a Friday. On that day, Allah decided to create Adam alayhi salam to begin with. So you know the virtue of a Friday is such that every Friday there is a competition. Who is going to make more salawat upon the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him? So spend your day. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammadin wa ala ali Sayyidina Muhammadin wa ashabihi wa barik wa sallim. The one who has said that throughout the day will indeed win the prize of that particular Friday by the will of Allah. So there are so many virtues of a Friday, but today I want to ask you to look at your life. Ask yourself, how long is it going to be? The true answer to that question is, as long as Allah wants. If He wants, He can take me here and now, while I'm standing in front of you, or while you are seated in front of me, or while you might be watching this or listening to it, or at a time when you least expected, but Allah knew. I tell you, when Allah created you, and in the case of those who have lost children, for example, when Allah created those children and blessed you with them, Allah Almighty gave you a time that you would be born and a time that you would be returning back to Him in terms of death of a worldly nature. Why I say worldly nature is a true mu'min. We believe that, you know what, it's just a transformation from one to another. Your soul might leave this body, but it's going to go into a much better body. I can't wait for that, to be honest with you. May Allah grant us goodness. With this body, we look at ourselves and we're a bit irritated with one pimple on the face, I promise you. Imagine what will happen when you have perfection in the Akhirah. May Allah grant that to us. They say the transformation is such that only Allah knows. But to bring it closer to your mind, when you were in the womb of your mother, how were you? You don't even know. You can't even remember. But were you there? Yes, I was. Why can't you remember? Because Allah Almighty let you come into something much more significant, that you remember what is on earth, but you don't remember your earliest days. You move from point A to point B. You move from one stage, which was the stage of the womb, to another stage, which is the stage of life on this earth. And you shall move to a third stage, which is the life after this particular body and its function is over. Allahu Akbar. So if you were to think about it, my brothers, my sisters, Allah has kept for you a date when you are going to go. Nothing is going to change that. Yes, dua and supplication does change your destiny to a degree. Your date of death and time of death is fixed and prescribed by Allah. That's it. The Quran says it will not change. There goes. So we have to embrace it by preparing for it, and preparing for it is not all doom and gloom. Rather, it is pegged upon nothing but the hope in the mercy of Allah. And I hope for it, and I know that I'm going to achieve it because I'm a believer. If those magicians at the time of Musa, Moses may peace be upon him, happened to prostrate once, and for that one prostration Allah wiped out their entire sins and gave them paradise, how many prostrations have you and I fulfilled? Allahu Akbar. May Allah accept even one of them. Subhanallah. Are you not trying? Are you not a worshipper of Allah? Are you not trying to be a good person? Are you not trying to worship Allah alone? Are you not trying to follow the sunnah of Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Do you not love the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him? Do you not revere and respect everything Allah has asked you to revere and respect to the best of your abilities? Do you not seek the forgiveness of Allah where you faltered because you're a human? The answer is, I do. I try my best. I'm a human. Allah made you a human. You have inclinations. You have your nature. For example, you might be temperamental. You might not. You might be tall and short. I love the way Allah made me, but I will not do that which is displeasing to Allah. There goes. I will not do that which is displeasing to Allah. And wherever I have faltered and fallen, I know I have fallen not because I'm defying Allah or I disagree with him, but rather because I am a weak human being. That's why I faltered, and I know this is wrong in the eyes of Allah. Brothers and sisters, do not justify something you are doing that is wrong. You're smoking, it is a bad habit. Don't ever come and say, no, it's a good habit. Astaghfirullah, I remember the guys on weed were trying to explain to me, have you seen a guy on weed who died in the coronavirus? No. Why? Because weed's good for you. The answer of that is, wallahi, you're talking a load of rubbish. Sorry to say that. I know of people who smoked weed and died. I know of them. Maybe you don't, because you were too high on weed to have seen them. So never come and justify things. People say it's healthy, it's good, it's smart. Wallahi, my brothers, my sisters, your relation with Allah is far smarter, far better, far more important. Don't justify things. You'd rather say, oh Allah, you made me with such a beautiful body. I'm going to look after it. I'm going to eat healthy. I'm going to drink that which pleases you and that which is healthy. I'm going to try my best to look after this body so that I can worship you in the best possible way. What's right and wrong is considered right and wrong. Today on earth, what's right is considered wrong and what's wrong is considered right. Do you know that there's a time the Prophet ﷺ already predicted this and prophesied it. And he already told us that there will be a time when what's right will be considered wrong and what's wrong will be considered right. Guess what? They try to fool us into being convinced that a tree is a dog and it's trapped in that particular tree. Allahu Akbar. May Allah grant us ease. And people are nodding their heads and say, yes, it is. It's true. Can't you hear the bark? They call it a bark of a tree. Have you heard that? Allahu Akbar. That was quite random. But anyway, may Allah Almighty bless us. It's a fact of life. What's right is considered wrong. What's wrong is considered right. But when you're pure and you try your best to go back to revelation, you understand why Allah made you. Life is so short. Your 60, 70 years that Allah's blessed you with, or a little bit more, a little bit less, I tell you, it is totally insignificant when compared to time in general. The same tree we're talking about is probably sitting in your yard for 200 years and it's seen four of the generations of your family. And where were you? You think you're more sophisticated. Allah gave longer life to the tree than to you and I. It's a short life. It's not good enough to just go and do whatever you want, forgetting that this is so short, so temporary. My brothers and sisters, here we are. Do you know where we are seated? We are seated in a place known as the house of Allah. If Allah brought you here, I promise you, He loves you. If Allah brought you here, He loves you, because you cannot just come into the house of Allah when you and Allah have an issue. You have an issue more than anything else. You can't just come into the house of Allah and feel comfortable and want to walk in. No matter what you've done yesterday or early morning today, the fact that right now you're in the house of Allah, Allah wants you to change. Allah wants you to quit bad habits. I said moments ago, even smoking is a bad habit. When you admit it, it will help you minimize, eradicate. You'll save a lot of money. A lot of goodness will happen. Your health will improve. You'll be able to do so much more. And I've given you a light example. There are people today involved in every sin in the book. And they call themselves Muslims. And they would be Muslims for as long as you consider a sin a sin. When do you exit the fold of Islam? I can explain. If you're a sinful person, knowing that this is a sin, you're still a Muslim because you're considering wrong, wrong. And you know I'm doing it, I'm not supposed to do it. Oh Allah, forgive me and help me improve. You're still a Muslim. But the minute you say there's nothing wrong in me eating, for example, pork. Oh, now you've got a problem. What religion are you following? So don't come and say I'm a Muslim who eats pork. No. And I'm a Muslim who thinks there's nothing wrong with pork. No, it can't happen. The two cannot come together. You are some religion that is not exactly the religion that was brought by Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but you're calling yourself Muslim. For what reason? To deceive yourself and other people. Today there are so many sins. People say, you know what? I drink, but this alcohol is from America. It's the one that's okay. What are you talking about, man? Subhanallah. Where did you get that from? This is an okay alcohol. You know why? It's just a little bit. You're not really so tipsy when you drink. Not at all. مَا أَسْكَرَ كَثِيرُهُ فَقَلِيلُهُ حَرَامٌ The hadith clearly says that which intoxicates, when a lot is consumed, even a little of it is prohibited. So do not consume it. May Allah Almighty strengthen us. Surrender to the hadith and adopt it. And if you're weak and you've done something wrong, tell Allah, oh Allah, forgive me, I'm wrong, this is wrong, I shouldn't be doing it. Strengthen me and don't go around promoting your rubbish. May Allah Almighty grant us ease. And don't tell people, I'm a Muslim and it's Islam, but this is okay. Because if Allah and His Messenger have said it's not okay, it's not okay. Prepare for the day you're going to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There are things in the Quran and the Sunnah that are clear, black and white. And there are people today arguing with those things to say, you know what? No. Now we've arrived at a time where we've discovered that actually this is not how it is put in the Quran. No, man, just relax. What you need to do here is surrender to it and tell yourself, I haven't understood, or I've understood, or I'm a little bit confused, I need to know. I'm not going to talk about this topic because I don't know about it, etc. But don't you dare go out and spread your confusion. Because we are Muslims. Learn. When Allah says, you don't know, then ask those who know. Clearly in the Quran. فَاسْأَلُوا أَهْلَ الذِّكْرِ إِن كُنتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ بِالْبَيِّنَاتِ وَالزُّبُرِ Ask those, Ahlul Dhikr, those who have an understanding of revelation, ask them. When you don't know, when you don't understand the signs, the revelations, ask those who know, they will tell you. The problem today, those who don't know, ask those who don't know, and both of them don't know, and they don't know that they don't know, so they think that they know. That's what's happening today. And because they think that they know, they word it in a very convincing manner. And then they go to those who know, and they continue with that which they didn't know, having gone to those who know, and try and confuse them in a way that they no longer know. It happens. Think about it. May Allah Almighty grant us strength. So, where I am today, I'm thankful that I'm in the house of Allah. And I need to make sure that I understand, why did Allah make it necessary for me to come to His house every Friday minimum? That's the bare minimum. If you're a mu'min, Jumu'ah, you got to get to the masjid. The term Jumu'ah has in it the root of Jama'ah. Jama'ah means to gather, to bring people together. You're a mu'min, we believe in Jumu'ah and Jama'ah. You see, the imam comes up and says, Jama'atul Muslimin, Jama'atul Muslimin. What is he talking about? He's talking about the group of Muslims. You are a group belonging to Islam. So you're all one massive ummah. And where did you come? I came to the masjid and I gathered. You're sitting next to someone today. You're going to meet people. You smile. You have an opportunity to engage in acts of worship. Had you not interacted with others, you would not have been able to engage in those acts of worship. But you interact. Someone might be this way. Someone might be that way. Someone might frown at you. Someone might to whatever else, and others, it's your test. Are you going to smile and make salam? How are you? You see someone needs a bit of help, you render a bit of assistance here and there. You might want to help the poor. You might see a beggar begging outside. Are you going to rebuke the beggar? One might say, no, we're not going to encourage beggars, so therefore it's fine. No, don't encourage begging. Don't give. No problem. If you'd like to give, it's up to you, but you don't need to give. Allah didn't tell you, wa amma sa'ila fa'a'tihi, that as for the one who's asking you, give them. Allah didn't say that. You know Surah Al-Duha. Most of us would know Surah Al-Duha. Allah says, wa amma sa'ila fala tanhar. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Allah says, as for the one who's begging and asking, don't rebuke him. That's all Allah says. Allah didn't say give or don't give, because he also doesn't encourage begging. How's that? Allah says, don't rebuke. Don't belittle, because you don't know. You're not the knower of the unseen. So minimum, say a good word. Or don't say anything. I have a habit. Sometimes you find someone, and you know the problem is they know who you are sometimes. Muslim beggar, Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh. And you're looking at you, and I'm thinking to myself, oh gosh, man, now what do I do? So I hold my steering wheel and I just look ahead. The worst thing is when he comes to the front of the car. But what do you do? We don't want to encourage, but at the same time, I've got to say wa alaykum as-salam, don't I? Subhanallah. It becomes really difficult. So if you don't want to make eye contact, no problem, but don't rebuke. You don't want to give, no problem, don't rebuke. And if you do give, give with honor and dignity, with utmost respect. You don't open your window and throw half an eaten banana and say, take. No. It's not how it works. Allah says, don't give that which you yourself wouldn't even take. But we know they are in need. He might appreciate. They may. You can tell them, listen, I've got this banana here. I don't know if you'd like it. Or say, no, bring it. I'll eat it. Then you can give. Respect. So the thing is, every one of us has to gather in order to get to know one another and the needs of the others, because Allah has kept acts of worship in meeting the needs of others. كَانَ اللَّهُ فِي عَوْنِ الْعَبْدِ مَا كَانَ الْعَبْدُ فِي عَوْنِ أَخِيهِ. Allah continues to assist a worshipper, you and I, for as long as you and I are busy, we're helping others. Allah will help you. You want help in your issues, your lives? Help others. In what way? Whatever you can. Whatever. Everyone's on a different level. Some can do more, some can do less. Minimum is don't make their lives difficult. Imagine if Allah's going to help those who help others. What do you think Allah's going to do to those who harm others? Simple. Right? So therefore, my brothers, my sisters, we must remind each other to turn to Allah. We gather, we come together, we love each other. We forgive each other. You want to be forgiven by Allah? I always tell people who come to me in arbitration when they have a massive problem, depending on what the problem is, I say, look, I'm not asking you to give up your rights, but I'm asking you forgive this person in a way that you're not holding a grudge in your heart any longer. Very important. I'm not holding a grudge in my heart any longer, but I'm forgiving this person and I'm still going to get my right. You owe me R1 million, for example. I need that million, but I don't have a grudge in my heart. I'm not holding that hatred. Because why? Let's solve the matter we have. There's either misunderstanding or whatever it may be. But the minute we have this grudge such that the ummah begins to degenerate in its fabric, we lose our might as an ummah. Let's face facts. Today we are fragmented. Because we have a different understanding of so many matters of things that are going on around us and things regarding our faith. And people are using that in order to make us believe that no, you don't belong to the same ummah. Where? Where? People are making us believe that you say, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and because you have differences of opinion in X, Y, and Z, you are not part of the same ummah, I promise you. When I was a little bit younger, I remember listening to one sheikh who said, if you want to know who's a Muslim, you ask the non-Muslim. And I never understood it at the time, but let me explain. You ask a Muslim who are the Muslims, depending on who they are and where they are, they might tell you, no, these guys are not Muslims, those guys are not Muslims, those guys are not Muslims, these guys are not Muslims, me and my cronies are the Muslims. That's how people behave. But you ask a non-Muslim who are the Muslims, they'll tell you, oh, those guys, they're known as Muslims. Do you agree? Say, if you really want to know who's the Muslims, you go and ask the non-Muslims, they will give you the proper answer. May Allah Almighty gather us in Jannatul Firdaus. Yes, if someone is making a mistake, it's our right to go out and try and correct them, help them, educate them. Who knows, they might educate us and we might have turned out to be the wrong ones. And even if we don't end up agreeing with one another, it does not mean that we are not part of the same ummah. Allah has a day of judgment where He will judge, and who knows what may be right and wrong. For as long as I am totally convinced by what I follow in terms of revelation and what Allah has sent down to me and you and I cannot force you to think the way I'm thinking, because Allah's created our capacities differently. So if you're using your full capacity and you sincerely and genuinely believe that I'm following what I firmly believe is supposed to be followed in terms of revelation, and I've arrived at this conclusion here, and someone else arrives at a different conclusion. It happened even at the time of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. They had differences. I'm not talking about those who don't believe that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the final messenger. I'm not talking about that. We believe he's the final messenger. I'm talking of all the Muslimin. That's part of your shahada. I'm not talking about the massive major things. I'm talking about general items between the people who utter the shahada and they believe in the five pillars and they believe in the six pillars of Iman. Generally, what happens is shaitan comes and makes us divided. Allah says, we've kept power in the jama'ah, the jumu'ah. Come together, talk to each other, greet each other, help each other, smile at each other, love each other, have a good feeling for each other. You heard something bad about your brother. First find out and verify, and if you're unable to do that, give the man the benefit of the doubt. I have people who come to me sometimes, randomly, thousands of people, obviously it's not easy to talk to everyone. They say, is it true you said this? And I said, not in a million years. But oh, that's what they were spreading. I said, well, thanks for asking, but no. Small things. That's one example. It happens to all of us. People say things. They take things out of context. They think, because they don't know you personally, they think you're an absurd person. You know what? The ummah is taught to give one another the benefit of the doubt. And if someone is going wrong, correct them. Rather than going around and spreading whatever you might be spreading in order to create further discord in the ummah. And that's why if you notice in the ummah, when you want to correct someone, you have to go back to the method of the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, or you shall fail. He corrected people with utmost respect. He never used abusive language to correct someone. That's why when I see scholars, my own fraternity, when they are correcting one another or they are correcting anyone and they become abusive, you need to know shaitan's gotten grip of them. That's all. Because it's not even a sunnah, it's haram to be abusive, you correcting someone. A man walked in and peed in the masjid. Come on, for the sake of Allah, we need to understand what's going on here. And the messenger, peace be upon him, if it was any one of us, we could have taken out whatever, I don't even want to say. What would we have done to a man peeing in the corner of the masjid? It's unthinkable. May Allah never let it happen. Here comes Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam telling his companions, La tazmuru, La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah. What a great man. I'm honored to be a member of his ummah, and all of us are, and we should be. Sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He corrected with so much of love that one sentence solved the problem. One sentence solved the problem. Why? There was love and respect and a genuine feeling for this man. And so when he corrected him, the man loved the methodology so much that he says, oh Allah, have mercy on me and Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and don't have mercy on anyone else, because they wanted to literally beat him up. They started shouting, yelling at him. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, La tazmuru, hey, leave this man alone. Don't do that to him. Go and fetch water. We'll clean the mess, but let me talk to him. And the Prophet, peace be upon him, dealt with him one-on-one. He didn't make a public issue of it. Do you notice something? Every time the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, corrected someone like that, we don't know the name of the person to this day. If anyone tells you, I know, they say, Ja'a Arabiyun, you know, there was a Bedouin man who came. You don't know the name. Why? The idea was not to disgrace someone. It was to solve a problem and to teach people a lesson. But today we have an issue. It's more the name than anyone else. When it becomes a name, it's a personal issue. When it's personal, then even if that guy does something correct for you, you'll find reason to make it wrong, because it was personal. That's the reason. So we go back to the methodology of the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, and we adopt it. When some people came to his wives and said, I'm going to fast all day, every day. Another one says, I'm going to be in prayer all night, every night. Another one said this and that. He came up on the minbar and he says, Ma balu aqwam. What is it with some people? We still don't know the names. We still don't know the names. He says, they say this, they said that. Remember, I am the best from amongst you and the closest to Allah from amongst you. And I fast and I break my fast. I fast some days and don't fast some days. And I pray a portion of the night and I rest a portion of, and so on. What a wonderful way of correcting. All of this is preparation for the day we're going to meet with Allah. Life is transformed into an ibadah when you are genuine with Allah. You have the sincerity. Every interaction that you ever have is transformed into an act of worship. And it is preparation for the day you're going to meet with Allah. Don't underestimate the expression on your face, because my Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam taught me, and our Nabi taught us sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that the expression on your face can be made into an act of worship by saying tabassumuka fi wajhi akhika sadaqa. You smile at the face of your brother, it's a charity. Smile, keep it good. It's amazing. Look at the expression on your face. Why would it be that I'm going to leave for you to ponder over? Why would a smile be an act of worship? There's a big discussion around it with so many beneficial points. I remember they did a social experiment on a train one day where a guy decided to laugh for nothing. You guys might have seen it, some of you, right? And he says, everyone started laughing. He just laughed and laughed. And everyone, one person laughed, the other person laughed. Sometimes I laugh, not at a joke, but at the way the guy himself laughed. It happens, right? We laugh at the laughter, not necessarily. A smile is much more dignified than loud laughter. Laughter is not haram, but sometimes dignified, the level of dignity sometimes. Because you know you're going to laugh, ha, 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 and you're going to go on and on and on. It doesn't, it's a level. But the smile, amazing. You smile at someone, they feel good. Number one, you feel so good. Hey, I got a smile. Imagine someone, they smile at you. Hey, you know, a good expression. Wallahi, you're excited. The ummah is in need of solutions, not of problems. A smile at times is part of your solution. And it's a sign of hope in the ummah. Haven't we lost hope? We see people, this one thugged me, that one robbed me, that one was backbiting about me, this one was slandering, this one deceived me, that one did this to me. But here we are, people I don't even know smiling at me. Wow, there's hope in the ummah, man. There's hope in the ummah. Someone, brother, how are you? Imagine the word brother, my sister. Genuinely for the sake, my brother, how are you? My brother, that's all. Those words are empowering. Do not underestimate them. Receive them and give them. Because we are an ummah that has lost a lot. Because of the squabbles in our midst and the difficulty and hardship of the globe. We've lost a lot. Take a look at the virus. Not only that, the economy of the whole world is in a shambles. You know that. Uncertainty economically, every nation is going through the time at the moment. Which way the world is going to head? Uncertainty. What do you do as a believer? Wallahi, you should be convinced that Allah is in control. Allah is in control. You should be convinced as a believer that goodness will come out of this. There should be hope and there should be belief within your system that Allah will carry us through. The same Allah who caused the knife not to cut when it came to Nabi Ismail. The same Allah who caused the fire not to burn when it came to Nabi Ibrahim. May peace be upon them. The same Allah who has done so many things, that is Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To solve your problem is just like this, minor. But He wants you to get closer to Him, so He prolongs it sometimes. How many times we cry to Allah, even during examinations. I know youngsters who've told me, you know, I do my tahajjud, I do this and I do that and I do everything. And I tell you what, because my exams are coming and I want to pass. And then you pass with all A's. You know what's the irony of it? As soon as you pass with all A's, what happens? You go to the ball. What do they call that party? What's it called? Yes. No, not a jol. It's a party, right? That party, what do you have in it? What happened to your tahajjud and your crying and your dua and everything else? It went down the drain, didn't it? So that's why when Allah blesses you, Allah says, you know what, sometimes I won't give you, because if I give you, you're going to go the other direction. I love the way you are right now. So this is why, stay this way. Subhanallah. We cry to Allah, I want to pass, I want to pass. I tell you, you get up for tahajjud, and tahajjud after the farad is the most important of the prayers that's not farad. But there's something unique about tahajjud. Who knows what it is? Something unique about tahajjud is that tahajjud is by invitation only. By invite only. If you have gotten up before the time of Fajr for tahajjud and you get up to pray, that is only because Allah invited you. That's why. There's no chance. You can't just do it on your own. I'm getting up and that's it. No, 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 no. Tahajjud is by invite only. Yes, there has to be an effort on your part. There has to be dedication. But Allah allows it and invites you. Come, we'll let you do something that others don't know about yet. Subhanallah. Or haven't experienced. Allah says, you know what? I love you enough to come here this time. Allahu Akbar. My brothers, my sisters, are you going to give it a try? When I say give it a try, it's not a farad salah. But what I mean, when you feel the feeling of saying, oh Allah, I thank you for inviting me here today. Allahu Akbar. It's a different, totally different feeling. In order for you to taste that, sometimes Allah puts in your life a real challenge. You have a medical problem. You have a financial problem. You have a social problem. Allah says, "Inna Allah idha ahabba 'abdan ibtalah." When Allah loves you, He tests you. When Allah loves you, He tests you. And when He has tested you, He will lead you out of His love to tahajjud. Now you're making tahajjud and you didn't realize I was invited by what? Through the problems I had, Allah says, come. Imagine invitation card. Here goes. I'm up for tahajjud and you're standing in front of Allah and you're about to say Allahu Akbar and you're thinking, Ya Ilahi. Oh Allah, oh my Lord, I firstly thank you for giving me this beautiful opportunity to stand in front of you. And the feeling in your heart can never be a feeling of hate. It has to be a feeling of love, purity, goodness. And you cry between you and Allah, Sallu billayli wa nasu niyam tadkhulu jannata rabbikum bisalam. Pray at night when others are asleep and you will enter the paradise of your Lord with ease. That's the sunnah. So like I said at the beginning of this talk, my brothers, my sisters, it's all about thinking, pondering. How would I like my life to end? Knowing that it may end today, number one, seek the forgiveness of Allah. I ask Allah here and now to forgive my sins. Oh Allah, I've committed sins that I know, sins that I've forgotten about, sins that I may not even remember at all, sins that I don't even know. Oh Allah, I admit them. You are my Lord. I seek forgiveness for all of those sins. Ameen. Oh Allah, help me to be the best person from today, better every day, such that when I meet you, I'm upon my best. Ameen. Oh Allah, take me away when you know it is best for me to go and keep me alive for as long as you know that there is benefit in me being alive. Allahu Akbar. That's the way. We shouldn't be doomed. People say, no, what was the topic? Say it was death. The topic was death. They say, ah, you see, these maulanas, they all want to talk about death and death. I'm not going there again. But when you die, who's going to do the janaza for you? The same maulana. Right? Agreed. Allah grant us jannah. I am convinced where I'm going is a better place. Why? Because I have iman. I believe in Allah. I know I've done wrong. I know I'm a sinful slave. But I have hope in the mercy of Allah. Did I not say, La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah, at least once in my life, with sincerity? The hadith says, Wallahi, that is heavier than 99 files filled with sins from the east to the west. Seek forgiveness of Allah. Protect yourself. Be a better person. And we always say this. And the bad news and the sad news is my time is up right now. I don't mean my life, but I mean the time that was initially allotted for this Jumu'ah. May Allah Almighty grant us ease and goodness. Wallahi, I see beautiful faces of my beloved brothers who are all here. Those who are standing outside, may Allah bless you and reward you. May Allah grant you lots of sabr. Today, we're going to have to squeeze in a little bit, inshallah. If we can use 3/4 of the saf, and perhaps might be a little bit difficult, but when we make space, Allah will make space for us too. And may Allah Almighty bless every one of our children and keep us focused. May Allah focus, help us to focus also on the right things. Remember, one last narration I share with you. The Prophet ﷺ says there will come a time when the one holding fast on his religion will be similar to the one holding fast or trying to hold a red hot coal. Al-qabidu ala dini aw ala dinihi kal-qabidi ala jamr. Someone who's trying to hold fast upon his faith is like someone who's trying to hold a red hot coal. So imagine holding a red hot coal. It won't be easy. It will be difficult. Drop it. You got to get it back, etc., etc. May Allah Almighty keep us steadfast. We're living in times that are testing. If we do not support one another, wallahi, we will be losing a lot. If we do not stand up for one another, if we do not respect one another, we will be losing a lot in terms of the ummah. We know there are differences. With those differences, I'm asking you today, let's learn to stand up for one another. Let's learn to love, respect one another. Don't allow shaitan to creep into your system with hate for one another. May Allah Almighty truly strengthen this ummah. May Allah Almighty help us truly to become better and to worship Allah in the most beautiful way. Allah will protect the deen, with you or without you. In fact, one more thing has come to my mind. I know I said the last thing, but let's make this the last. I'm a Zimbabwean. We actually bargain quite a bit. I tell you what. Another powerful, powerful example. When Abraha came with the elephant to Mecca to destroy the Kaaba, who was in charge of Mecca? It was the grandfather of the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. What was his name? Abdul Muttalib. This man comes in and he was stealing things. You know, the armies were just usurping items and taking it as booty of war. So he took all these camels that belonged to Abdul Muttalib. He took all these camels, and Abdul Muttalib, as a chief, he asked for his camels. He wanted them. So he goes to this man and says, "Hey, I need my camels." The man says, "You're so foolish. I'm about to destroy the Kaaba. You're more worried about your camels." He says, I'm sure you guys know what he said. One of the most powerful statements in history. He says, "As for the camels, they are mine. That house has a lord. See what he'll do to you." Allahu Akbar. The camels are mine. I need to ask for them. The house there, the Kaaba, you see. His owner. He'll deal with you, not me. Imagine the conviction this man had, the grandfather of the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. This was prior to Nubuwa, it was in the year that the Prophet ﷺ was born. Amul Fil, they call it the year of the elephant. Allahu Akbar. So this is why we say the deen will be protected. Why? It has a Lord. But let's be a part of it. I hope Allah uses us to serve this deen and to protect it in one way or another. أقول قولي هذا وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد.